This is Leo Babeu for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio, and we have the great pleasure this morning of visiting with Mr. Paul Diener. And Paul, I don't know all the different hats you wear, but at Lake Superior Community Theater, you're wearing a hat as a director, a producer. Are you a CEO? Where do your roles begin and meld into each other? Just what do you do, Paul?
Well, I'm the Paul of all trades. I am the executive director. I sit on the board of directors, and I directed most of our shows. If I don't direct, and in some years other folks have directed, I do produce. I'm the producer.
Okay.
And I like designing the lighting, so I'm a lighting guy. And the technical coordinator as well, production coordinator, coordinating all the elements. It's a big job and with many hands and hats.
Yeah, and I think that despite all of the roles that you just outlined, that it's an enormous human project to put on a performance, no matter how large the cast may be for any one of these shows, between all of the facets of playmaking, you could probably give us a kind of a primer course, but I think it'd be more interesting, I guess, to know just about the history of your community theater, how long it's been going on, how it developed over the years, and maybe what it looks like now. Have you had a production since the onset of COVID and the stay-at-home rules in 2020? I can't recall.
No, we have not. This will be our first performance in 5 years. Now,
Wow.
Tried to do performance during the COVID year, the musical Junie B. Jones.
Right.
But COVID canceled that. And then we wanted to launch The Diary of Anne Frank last year, but we had a cast person came down with non-COVID illness, and we had to cancel that as well because we were too far into rehearsals and we could not replace that person. So it will have been 5 years since we did our production of Fences in 2018.
Wow, that was a brilliant production, and we got to the pleasure of seeing that performed in Two Harbors as well, didn't we?
You sure did, yes.
And
it was great.
And so it feels like years between Fences and The Diary of Anne Frank, this could have been almost an existential challenge to Lake Superior Community Theater. Was it ever in doubt that you were coming back, or did the frustration kind of weigh on everyone?
I don't think it was ever in doubt, but it was just, okay, what do we do now? And we are Americans. If we get thrown off our horse, we dust ourselves off, get back up, and we keep on keeping on. So we just had to reload and be patient. And many of the donors and agencies were willing to give some money to help keep us afloat. Even the production company for Junie B. Jones, that was a $4,000 royalty for that production. And they waived it for us to have to pay back. They told us, you can keep the money. We're all struggling all over the world. So stuff like that was happening all over the time. So we are very grateful for the survival and the money that still came in. And we just took our time to reload. We are not a program, so we're not locked into putting on a play every year. So it comes with inspiration and who wants to direct and if there's even a crew available. So there was still people available to want to reload. So now we're here at The Diary of Anne Frank.
Tremendous. And I just wanted to touch a little bit because I kind of cut off the very question I asked Paul, which is a little bit about the history of how far back the foundation, the formative years for Lake Superior Community Theater has been, kind of a range of how many productions you might have put on, and just so people know that this has been a long-standing community project.
Well, we started in 2002.
Okay.
And the late George Starkovich, whose funeral is on coming up soon, just passed away, gave us the keys to the school. And he knew we wanted to do quality community theater, so he gave us the keys and encouraged us to get it done. So we are trying to take that charge seriously. We have put on about 16, 17 shows over the years, mostly musicals, a handful of dramas, about three or four comedies. I've directed, Scott Toon has directed, Chip Brown has directed, and so we've shared the load a little bit, but as the producer and I guess the driving force, I've made sure we've kept all the parts somewhat oiled and moving forward. Our costumer, Leanne Johnson, lives near Two Harbors. She retired this year, so we have a new costumer, Patty Paulson. She's fabulous. She's artistic. She's got a sense of humor, and she's doing a great job with costuming. So people do step up, and our numbers of volunteers maybe are not necessarily as great as they used to be, but they're still strong enough to put on a show. So we determine year to year or every 2-3 years what the community can handle as far as volunteer numbers and talent numbers and talent quality. And if someone wants to direct, then we go from there.
If the size of the core dwindles, and there just has to be comings and goings as we're all, so to speak, aging out of different things that we do in our lives, that you can't always have an understudy who's ready to go, and that must make it challenging if you like this role of costumer. That would be pretty irreplaceable if no one stepped up. Is that something you're always keeping an eye on, is trying to get people to train in on things that sooner or later you're going to need a replacement for what is right now an irreplaceable person? Everybody has to be in some way replaceable.
Frankly, we do not have a training program.
Okay.
We rely on people we've had or people they recommend. And that's what happened, for instance, with Patty, our costumer. And that's what happened with our lead actress, Marley Schumacher. She was recommended by somebody. So that could be a fault of the program. I'd say definitely a weak point. We don't have a training program. And yes, we've had attrition. People have left, and we haven't necessarily filled those ranks. And it is a concern of sorts, because it does limit your possibilities of what you can do. And these responsibilities can be pretty daunting. There's like 10 departments. Fundraising, set design, set building, lighting, costuming, makeup, house management, fundraising, PR, directing, acting. I mean, the list is big, and under each one of those is a subcategory.
Yes.
So, pretty big endeavor.
Yeah, hearing you talk about it, it's sort of like we know that this ship has sailed, or this bird has flown many times before, but that's why I wondered about, with a 5-year hiatus, whether it felt a little challenging getting what used to be kind of a reflexive process of the whole organization to happen again. And I don't know if it makes a difference, the size and scale of what happens for this particular play versus, say, one of your biggest musicals. Is it more manageable to do a smaller ensemble production?
Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. We did a relatively small production in Death of a Salesman, although that had a cast of 2022.
Yeah.
But that play sort of directs itself and the set. It's a wonderful set we had for that play. This production has been the most difficult endeavor I've ever undertaken in my life.
Oh, my.
It's a tremendous detail. Just the script says one thing, but then when you go to do the action, well, you've got to fill in other details to make the action credible. And the cast has to remember to do many, many, many things. And the director has forgotten things or spaced out on things or not seen all the detail required to sell a scene and to make it credible and to take it to the nth degree. So in that regard, the cast has jumped in to help me, remind me, suggest solutions to scenes. It's been very difficult. You know, we've got 70-some light cues. We've got well over 100 sound cues. And then you got all the dialogue and the acting and all the scene breakdowns and stuff. So this one's been extremely difficult.
Paul, and we're speaking today with Paul Diener, director, among many other titles, with the Lake Superior Community Theater's production of The Diary of Anne Frank that is premiering this week. And Paul, does this production have any musical accompaniment whatsoever?
No, it has a soundscape.
Okay.
Pre-recorded sound and sound effects. And there's only one scene where the characters actually have some musicality, and that's in the Hanukkah scene. There are two two Hebrew blessings they sing.
Sure.
But other than that, it's a soundscape and sound effect and music underneath to enhance the emotional delivery of the scene.
Right. So despite the fact that no pit orchestra or band this time, it is every bit as challenging as anything you've ever done. And that's...
Oh, 100%. 100%. Wow. Now, I don't have to conduct an orchestra.
Yeah.
So our conductors, you could ask them what it's like for them.
Yes.
Or our choreographer, what it's like for them. So, although I did choreograph Junie B. Jones, and that was a lot. That was a lot. So,
indeed.
You know, when you add those elements, that starts complicating it. But as far as a straight play, as we say in the business, I've never directed anything so difficult.
Paul, we take it for granted, maybe sometimes with a work of nonfiction as well-known as Anne Frank's Diary of a Young Girl, that people understand how it became a play and a movie, et cetera. But could you fill us in again on how that unfolded? Right after the war, they discovered the Diary of Anne Frank. It was published, I believe, in like 47, but it was in the mid-50s, I think, it came to be a play, and I don't know when the movie was made, but kind of give people a little history of the production.
Yeah, late 50s. I think 57, 56, 55, the play came out. Movie came out, I think, in 59. And Otto Frank, Anna's father, wanted her words published. And so numerous books were, Jim, can't remember the word here, but numerous books were published, but he left them a little sanitized because he didn't want to reflect poorly on his daughter's very frank, no pun intended, comments about her mother and other people, like Dr. Dussel. Dussel's a term that actually means dimwit. It wasn't his real name. His name was Fritz Pfeffer, but she named him Dr. Dussel, and Dussel was, in our lingo today, a diss. Anyway, he didn't want to reflect poorly on his daughter, so some of that was sanitized and other things left out. But over the years, the new additions have become more fleshed out with Anna's actual words or the intention behind her words. For instance, I studied the Anne Frank Definitive Edition. That's the one I used as a foundation for this show. And then the writer Wendy Kesselman in the original script, she also picked up on some of that harder edge from the original copies and added it to her version of the script, which came out in the mid-late 90s, the Wendy Kesselman version. And that's the version we're going to use.
Okay, so you're taking that adaptation of that original play by Goodrich and Hackett, I guess, was the original playwriters. And so the Kesselman version is what you are putting on. And tell us about when people will have the opportunity to come see you for the first time in 5 years.
Well, that's a great question. The public performances open March 24th, Friday,
okay,
7 o'clock, Saturday the 25th at 7, and Sunday the 26th is a 2 o'clock matinee. And then we reload for the public March 31st at 7 o'clock, April 1st at 7 o'clock all evening.
Okay.
And then April 2nd, Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. I might add, we have scheduled a performance for some students only from four schools up and down the North Shore, from Cook County all the way down to Two Harbors. And we expect, and this is historic for us and possibly the shore, 500 students to pack into the 502-seat Kelly Auditorium, the Diary of Anne Frank, on Thursday, March 23rd. So that's a special treat at 9:45 in the morning. That is a private event.
Wow.
And not open to the general public.
Right. But early morning performance and stand, essentially you're building in almost, depending upon what attendance is at school that day, a standing room only kind of crowd.
Yeah, don't tell the fire marshal.
I don't have his or her phone number, Paul, I promise. But that should be something. And you would think that this is something, because of the nature of the subject matter of a young woman and her family struggling for survival in the heart of World War II with the Holocaust unfolding as people were even understanding what that meant at the time, that you might want students to get a little more information, too, of historical backdrop. But I guess we leave that to the teachers and the the educators. But you'll be doing a pivotal role there in providing them this actual play, Paul, which I imagine for some people will be of their age will be incredibly impactful. So thank you for doing that.
I think it will. They do study the play in eighth grade at Kelly's school. They do study the play at Great Expectations School up in Cook County. I assume they study the play at Cook County School and at Two Harbors School. So, but this will be live performance augmented by sound and sound effects and lighting and acting and the magnificent Ann Gumper stage on the Kelly stage. This is live theater and live emotion and solid American soul coming out of this. And American soul meaning put on by Americans with that American experience influence of a historic event. And so, once again, to say the least, we're excited about that. And that will just really augment what they're doing in the classroom. This will be a first for many children, no question about it. And we're not necessarily shying away from the violent nature of the play, and we're not trying to soft pedal anything with this play. There's been much made about Anne Frank's contribution as a voice of positivity and inspiration for tolerance and for diversity and for kindness. But we are also going to drive home the point quite clearly in our delivery that the point for us in the theater beyond that is never again with this kind of hatred and intolerance and dictatorial government kinds of policies and authoritarianism. So the only thing we put in the program for our position on that is never again. We let the art speak for itself. So this will take what they learn in the classroom and amp it up significantly on the stage, as well as for our general public as well.
Well, indeed, for adults of all ages, including the very mature middle schoolers on up that are trying to come to terms with a world that's still full of complex vitriol, polarization, and certainly not necessarily this level of tragedy unfolding, although depending upon what country in this world you're in, you may have your very own tragedy unfolding where intolerance and hatred is the norm. And there's just a lot you've packed in and selected a play that's obviously going to, you know, have people comparing the times they live in with what's gone before and drawing conclusions. I hope that, just like what you said, continue to have the message of never again. But it's quite a selection. And this presentation of The Diary of Anne Frank has been in the offing for more than a few years, Paul?
Again, hard to say, Leo. Hard to say when inspiration comes.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure why Anna Frank tapped me on the shoulder, but that did happen a couple, two, 3 years ago, maybe at the longest.
Okay.
Maybe after that. You know, maybe the what's happening in the world right now influenced that.
Sure.
I don't know. One could argue that. We're even considering it'd be great to attempt to be given the right to do the play Dear Evan Hansen, which deals with serious subject matter happening with teenagers.
Yeah.
But the rights for that have not been granted yet. So saying in the offing, hard to say, but inspiration is there a little bit in the back of at least my mind, too, as a possibility. So,
okay.
Who knows? Who knows?
Paul, I'm not quite sure just how small the cast ensemble is for this, but do you want to speak to at least a few of the featured performers that people will be seeing this week or next week?
Yes.
I hope everyone in the sound of my voice has interest in seeing this, so I'm just trying to let people know. Who are the participants and what is their background?
Well, the lead actress is junior Marley Schumacher at Kelly High. And Marley has participated in a number of quality programs at Kelly, including her studies. She's a very good student. She's an FFA student as well, but she's been involved in one act and something of this endeavor on the stage she's never done before. So although she's done one act, but something at this level she's never done before. Marley's wonderful, and it's been great getting to know her. Her counterpart, Darren Blank, is a teacher, plays Otto Frank at Kelly High, a fabulous actor. The guy's a professional.
Wow.
Remember that.
Wow.
This guy's pro from Dover. He's the real deal. And he can sing. He loves musical theater. Rick Frericks, teacher at Kelly High, marvelous work as Mr. Von Don. And his counterpart is his sister in real life, Terry Frericks Blood. Uh-huh. She is a pro from Dover as well. I've told Terry many times, you're a natural, Terry. Folks need to come see her perform. The actress Shelley Winters won the Academy Award for the role that Terry will be playing, and Terry's got it nailed down. Other folks in the cast include Betsy Mead playing Edith Frank. Betsy's from Finland, and many of our students saw her at Wolfridge for a while.
Yeah.
when she worked there. The other students involved are Vesper Robinson, who plays Margot Frank. Vesper's a sophomore, or maybe Vesper's a junior. I got to get that right. Don't tell Vesper. Anyway,
we'll clarify that.
Jack Virginia is also a student at Kelly High. He's going to play the character Peter. We have three Gestapo agents. We have the fantastic Leah Holst from Duluth playing Meep Geese, the office worker, who is the lifeline for everyone in hiding. She brings daily food, weekly food information from the outside. Meep, played by Leah. Leah, thousands of folks see Leah every year because she portrays Grandma at the finish line at Grandma's Marathon.
Yes, indeed.
And her husband, Corey Holst, is our fabulous sound engineer. He is a sound artist, and he's done work at the North Shore Theater, at the Deck, the old Duluth Playhouse, and he's done work for us on and off for years at Lake Superior Community Theater in Kelly, at Kelly and down in Two Harbors.
Well, I second that emotion on Corey's work because we've stolen him to be the go-to guy for our Cabin Fever production as well, Paul. So we recognize that those qualities.
Yes, Scott Toon is in our cast, Silver Bay. Scott is a movie and stage actor veteran. He plays Dr. Dussel. He is fantastic. Other members of our cast also include our three Gestapo gentlemen. They are gentlemen in real life.
Yes.
We also have Sarah Betzler. She plays the added character, what we're calling the nightmare prisoner. Anna Frank has a nightmare.
Oh, wow.
About her mother. But the prisoner in costume is an amalgam of her mother and perhaps someone imprisoned in one of the camps, Belsenbergen or Auschwitz, or one of those camps, Treblinka, whatever.
Wow.
You'll know who that character is right away. So there's a 14-member cast, and our stage manager, Benny Isaacman, is fabulous, detailed-oriented person. She'll be calling the show back there and bossing Corey Holst around. It's wonderful.
It sounds like an amazing assembly with many moving parts, even though, you know, people think that this must be a simpler play to put on because it's allegedly happening kind of in one small cramped space. But as you've put it, there's a lot to convey, and it doesn't sound like it's that easy to get that imagination connection working without a lot of attention to detail.
Yes. And we want to tell our listeners as well, we use a prop firearms. They are not real.
Oh.
They cannot fire. They are prop firearms. So that imagery has gained a lot of notoriety
yes.
in the past few years.
Sure
and
has.
With tragic consequences.
Yes.
So just let her know, our cast, our audience members, that. And absolutely turn off your cell phones when you come into that auditorium. It is sacred ground, a sacred place. we do not want cell phones on in the auditorium during the performance.
Okay, everyone's been forewarned, Paul. A couple of hours without their electronic guardian angels, I think we can all do it. It's maybe 2023, but I think we can do it.
Try.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, thank you for this kind of summary of things. And how do people make sure that they can be in attendance at these shows? How do they wrangle tickets? What do you recommend? We have the online option of TIX.com.
Yes, that's one option. Or you can buy tickets night, day of performance, right at the Kelly Auditorium lobby. And if you want to call somebody, our local contact lives up in Little Murray, Sue Churak. Sue's number is 218-22, let me lean in and look at her phone number.
I can read it.
220-9942. 218-220-9942. And Sue will give you that personal touch that we all deserve.
A personal ticket broker for your performances is pretty amazing concierge service, Paul. This has been a wonderful tour and leaves me with a lot of anticipation to get myself up there. I guess I'm supposed to say break a leg. What should I really be saying to you and all of your colleagues?
You can say, and you've been listening to the Blowtorch of the North Shore, KTWH 99.5 FM, Two Harbors Community Radio.
Wow. On that note, Paul, thank you for giving us a shout out as well. And I give a shout out again to Lake Superior Community Theater presenting The Diary of Anne Frank between March 24th and April 2nd. And you can, I'm sure, find all of the dates online. And if you go to online ticket sales at TIX.com, you'll see all of the performances and their performance times. Paul, I hope it's an incredible welcome home to you and your ensemble that are all part of making this amazing community theater happen coming up the next couple of weeks. Good luck.
That's very gracious of you to say that, Leo. We will do our best. Thank you so much.
All right. We will see you down the road. We'll see you on the radio and hope to see you in person soon, Paul. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye now. That was Paul Diener from Lake Superior Community Theater. And this is Leo for KTWH.